That leaves us with 8 items on our agenda. What I'm going to do is we're going to take 19, 20, and 26 in that order. And if the demand runs out of the hour glass before we finish the rest of the 8, we'll show those over to the time to see them.
Mr. Chair, while Andrew's getting up to the mic and preparing for the presentation, I just wanted to make a couple of comments on this item that Andrew's going to present to you, and this is on the deer drawing structure. Obviously, we've had a lot of discussions about deer drawing over the last 3 years. I remember back in 2019, the Commission adopted a new deer drawing structure. And one of the items that was agreed upon at that time is after 3 years of this structure in place, come back to do an evaluation and discussion around that. So today is the start of that discussion. As we know full well that there's going to be some other pieces that will come up from today's presentation, I would offer to you what Andrew's going to present, just some of the preliminary data from the deer drawing structure. Want to present you some data today, because it's likely going to trigger some more questions, discussions, and maybe requests of some more data, which we can then go back and continue working on that. So today is probably the start of the discussion, if I may, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners, but want to get this information in front of you so we can continue on with this. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to the guru that has the data and the knowledge behind this. I'll present this to you today, and then we'll go from there. So thank you, Andrew, for making some changes and plans and getting here to be in person to present this today. Andrew, it's all yours.
Good afternoon, Commission. Chair Olson, Secretary Roebling. Happy to be here today. Actually, works out better now. I'm sitting free all day tomorrow. And I wouldn't quite say I'm the guru. I'm just the one that is responsible for going through the data. So I'm going to try to do that today, just go through simply the data as objectively as I can. And you guys get to make the tough decisions on what you think is maybe the best approach with this deer structure and like these changes that were implemented a few years ago. So, as Tom mentioned today, I'm just going to focus on the changes to the firearm draw. I'm not going to get into changes to tubing preference points or archery or anything like that. Just looking at what was done in 2019, I'm going to first go through exactly the changes that were made and then get into some of the data and the results that we saw from that. So the primary objectives were to get more hunters into the field and increase the hunter's chance of drawing a preferred license. So in the simple concept of thinking about this is spreading the wealth around more. So we're trying to get more residents a single hunting license that they prefer rather than previously hunters were getting 6-7 firearm buck licenses spread out across the multiple seasons, and that obviously limited the potential for some people to get their primary choice. So, like I said, we'll go through what was done before. Most of my analysis is going to look at a 3-year average from 2016, 17, and 18, and then compare that to the most recent 3-year average after the change was implemented. So prior to 2019, when the change was made, there would be 6 firearm deer seasons. I've illustrated those with the figures at the bottom here. You've got West River and East River, the 2 big seasons, a lot of deer hunting units within those seasons, but by themselves, the aggregate is 1 season. So those are 2. Then you've got Black Hills Muzzleloader, which is statewide, just 1 unit. Refuge, there's a few refuges. And then Custer State Park. So among those 6 seasons, prior to the change, a hunter could apply for any one of those 6 seasons. Almost think about them as completely different states. You can apply West River, and that has no bearing on whether or not you can apply East River. So in 2019, the draws were all combined, and originally the intent was through the first 2 draws to only allow a hunter to apply for 1 of the seasons. So as you can imagine, that means everyone has to pick their number 1 deer license that they want to get through the first 2 draws, and that's going to essentially take names out of the hat. So just like Nick presented earlier today about the Can-Am raffle, you can think about it, well, if you've got 5,000 less raffle tickets in that hat, much better chance of your name being drawn. So again, the original intent was to limit that to 1 season. What really limited the effectiveness of this is that we allowed people to choose 2 seasons. So there's a lot of hunters that traditionally were going to get either their West River and East River unit, maybe they're adjacent to one another, and they really were reluctant to give up that opportunity. So we allowed them to keep that at 2 choices through the first 2 draws. So that would be the same for residents and non-residents. Non-residents are further expected they can only get licenses in three of these seasons, West River, Black Hills, and Refuge, and that's limited to 8% of the licenses available. So through the first two draws, again, you can either apply for two seasons or only hold up to two licenses. So nobody's going to have more than two licenses through the first two draws. In draws three and four, there was quite a bit of complexity added. This is primarily to allow residents additional opportunities through draws three and four, and again, limit the non-residents. So non-residents still can only apply for those maximum of two licenses or two seasons, whereas residents can, in draw four, get up to 11 buck tags. It's not likely, but we did see some folks with 6 or 7 buck tags prior to the tank. And then you get to the fifth draw, which we'll refer to as like leftover draw, which is the first come, first serve. Any licenses remaining, then people can pick those up. So, all the analysis, I've spent a lot of time on this the last 2 months, I'd say, but it's quite simple. As I mentioned, if you've got people that are applying for more than two seasons and you limit the amount of seasons they can apply for, you're automatically going to increase draw success, all else being held constant. So that would be the number of hunters that apply and the number of licenses being available. So unfortunately, in the real world, we don't have that year-to-year extension licenses available. We change the number of hunters that apply. But still, the intent of this was to simply remove names from the hat and increase that draw probability. So right before we changed in 2018, we can see about 35,000 people only applied for one season. Almost 12,000 applied for two, and this is just in the first draw. And then people that applied for three plus was 5,800. So if all those people that applied for three plus, if they only applied for three seasons, you can say we took 5,820 names out of the hat and increased that success. So it's going to increase success. Again, it's just the effectiveness is going to depend on where they apply, and I'll get into those results here. So I'll start with the summary. I'll get into some more of the figures and specifics through the years, but I'll present this slide here, and then I'll leave you at the end with the same slide with kind of some of the three main take-homes. So the first one, we did increase the number of unique resident gun hunters by 400. Not a huge percentage change, but it did add more hunters to the field, and that's despite the fact that we actually had fewer buff licenses available. So added more hunters, even though biologically we had to reduce buff licenses in some years. How that shook out, as I said, what we really did was we limited the success of people with three plus licenses. So we had 400 fewer people with three plus, but we actually had 800 more people with either one or two plus tags. And then most importantly, maybe, is that we did increase that individual success, as I said, removing names from the hat. Overall, 66% to 70%. But for me personally, the most interesting was we didn't know what these hunters were going to do. You can see among these six seasons, if you limit a hunter to picking only two seasons, what are they going to pick? Well, very reluctant to give up their West River application with Black Hills. There's no change at all in success there. But we did see quite a big increase in the other four seasons. East River went up 10%, and then Muzzleloader and Refuge success nearly doubled, and Custer State Park nearly tripled. So that's going to ultimately reduce wait time for someone with Muzzleloader tag might be only waiting 3 or 4 years instead of 5 or 6. Breaking that down further, again, summarized everything in the previous slide. This is just some of the trends that we see. We have seen this long-term trend. Not sure if it's EHD, as I've talked about the last 2 months, or COVID, but you see this long-term trend in resident firearm hunters that are applying from 2016 to 2021. The start bars slowly decreasing, is even decreasing maybe before the change. You can see in 2020, it kind of went down below 50,000 applicants and stayed there. Non-residents, they really just increase regardless of these changes. But I show on the right people that apply for only preference points. We implemented that, I believe, in 2014, and you can see that's consistently been increasing. So that very likely could be offsetting some of these people that aren't actually applying for a season and they're just collecting preference points. So now I'm just going to combine it so it looks a little simpler, not show all the years. It's going to be the dark bar here, the previous three-year average, so 2016, 17, 18, and the light bar is 19, 20, and 21. Again, by design, we limited the number of applications. So on the left side, you can see in that dark bar, from the 53,588 applicants, there was about 83,000 applications that were submitted. And this is throughout all the draws, and just resident hunters there. After the change, that went down to 73,000. We decreased the number of applications by 12%. Again, you can start to see how this shakes out the seasons from the bars on the right side there. Black Hills, West River hardly changes at all, but all those other four seasons, you see quite a decrease in the number of applications. That's going to translate directly to success here, just to complement that. Obviously, if there's less applications, you're going to have higher success. So you see overall success going from that 66 to 70%. But you see those big jumps in Custer, East River, Muzzleloader, and Refuge. Then finally, just again showing this one other way, the number of hunters that had one license went up a little bit, but we also saw the number of hunters that had two licenses going up, and ultimately that came out of the hunters that had three licenses. So basically the question that would naturally come up might be, well, what if you limited to one choice? What you would see would be those hunters with two licenses would go down quite a bit, and that would increase the number of unique hunters that have one license. With that, just bring the summary slide back up again. We looked at these data a lot of different ways. I have a lot of tables. I can hand those out. I can email those out, or if there's any questions, perhaps I have them here in the PowerPoint after the formal presentation here. But happy to take any questions.
Mr. Stark here, could you back up one slide? Try to do the math really fast, and it appears, except for the 3-plus buck life, didn't change much on total numbers for 2 bucks. Is that the correct way to read this?
Yeah, we increased the number of total unique hunters by 400, so that's 1%. So, I mean, yeah. Not a huge change, 1% overall, but again, it shook out among the seasons where West River, Black Hills didn't change at all. So you're going to see those other seasons.
Any other questions? I think that when you say it's up to us to decide whether or not to stress the same, you know, from the numbers side of it, do you think that you say that we're reaching towards that goal?
So how I started it, when we take names out of the hat, the direction we move undoubtedly moves us towards the direction if the objective is to increase the draw success for an individual primary choice. So we move that direction. The extent of how much we move, we can do a lot of things. Bring cases of space with just one buck license overall. Obviously, that's going to increase the number of unique hunters, but it's going to limit a lot of opportunities for people that really want to hunt some unique opportunities here in South Dakota. So that's really the tough decision that has to be made is what's there. But definitely, I mean, the change moves the needle this direction. But whether that's the objective or not.
Those getting opportunities are, you know,
that's certainly where we heard a lot of the comments at the beginning of the process, right? In particular, those folks in Eastern South Dakota that wanted that preferred East River deer license. And what we did see with this particular change in adjustments that we did, we saw that draw go up somewhat on that East River side in particular.
Any other questions for Dave? I appreciate that. And then we certainly go in there for the panel of those, so we're also here to the people.
Yeah.
So kind of all I can just send it to them and take a look at it. So really just a finance.
Nick Harrington, communications manager, that'll be on the communications, on the meeting archive. So it'll be the November meeting archive. You'll hear his audio, and then you'll also get the PowerPoint will be right there for you as well. So you'll have the audio and the PowerPoint right there, meeting archive, November. And that'll be there years to come.
Thank you so much. Good luck
tomorrow. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, the last thing that I would offer up to you, we'll pull that information together, and if you think of any other pieces of data and information that may have sparked your thoughts here, please let us know and we will work on pulling that together to bring that in front of you.
And there's somebody down here for the air.
Krishna Whitman.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. One thing I guess I didn't interested in is how many hunters we have that are lasting 3 or 4 years before those die. I feel like this probably minimized the number of people that were not able to hunt more than 3 years. So in general, compared to back in the day, I've heard reports of people that suffered being targeted by the department because they weren't able to draw for 4 or 5 years, which, you know, and it might feel that way if you're not able to draw, you know, and you get a little paranoid after a while. But certainly, I think that was the fire system. You've got any way.
Chairman, Mr. Whitmire, we will look into that too, to see what kind of data we can pull out on that, and we'll come over the time frame as well.
This would be here. Did this meet the goal of the objective? When you change this, you do any projections on what you thought it would do, and if it meet the goal that you were changing it for?
Captain Rowland here at Parks. I got this question because I was at the tip of the spear during this conversation with Special Projects Coordinator. We fell a little short. We did. Our goal was when we projected the changes of the Solana hunters to get two buck licenses and two choices in the first draw. We projected about 1,000 new hunters each year. So we ended up with about 400. That was at the tune of fewer buck licenses over the last 3 years. That contributed to the projection of not hitting 1,000. But also there was a column up there that there was 173 hunters that got 3 buck licenses. So what that means is buck licenses dropped down into that third and fourth draw where they could get more than 2. We didn't anticipate that or I didn't account for that during those projections. But we fell a little short. We did see more hunters in the field more often within the objective. But we didn't hit that 1,000.
So what if you had any calculations where we went to the 1 instead of the 2, if it would have made our goal, or do we need to start considering something like that? That's what we want to do.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. B, yes, I mean, there would be a substantial increase, or more, not substantial increase, but there would be definitely more opportunity to get more hunters in the field more often if you were to do a lot of hunters or force hunters to take 1 choice instead of 2. Because if you recall Andrew's numbers there, about 5,000 people did get 3 buck licenses in the first draw. So essentially, you'd be taking those 5,000 buck licenses, throwing them back into the pool for folks to essentially obtain 1 buck license instead of 2. So we could do the real quick math, we could get upwards of 4,000 to 5,000, probably additional hunters to get more often if we were to go that route.
Commissioner Lockett.
Commissioner Lockett here. One thing that concerns me is the cubing of preference points. Cubing is a powerful tool. And you look at Black Hills season, a lot of people are after that. And I'd kind of like to have a look at what you see with reference points being achieved. Not so much looking in the rear view mirror, but look forward, what's going to happen in 5-6 years, what this is going to look like. Just a little concerned we could be creating a monster by giving some people too many chances. And then there's other people, you know, the first, second, third, fourth year applicants don't have any chance at all.
Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Locke, and again, as Andrew mentioned a few moments ago, we did not do any analysis on using this round of data, but that is something that we can certainly go back and look at that more and bring some more information on that and how it works, how it applies to these particular situations, and also try to figure out what does that look like going in the future. How long does the cubing really have an impact before we reach that threshold where you now have to go to 4 times instead of 3 times in those types of settings? We could look at that and try to do some projection estimating for you as well.
Yeah, it's what we're going to run into in the future that bothers me. I'm not worried about as much what happened in the last 3-4 years. I'm worried about 5 years out with it.
Any other questions or comments?